Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The way people are behaving today, there's such an allegiance to party. I've literally had people tell me, so I don't really believe that, but I have to say that because of the party. I want to get elected. If this is going to infect one of the basic community resources that we have, public schools are community resources.
What do you think about the idea that school board elections ought to have partisanship attached to them? That you can say, you know, I'm Kevin Adams, I'm a Republican. Or, and I know this is going to grind him, but I'm Kevin Adams, I'm a Democrat. He's not. But, you know, you should be able to say, or I'm Kevin Adams, no party affiliation, right? Should we have that in our elections for the school board members? And, I mean, you could go broader than that. That's the actual bill that's under consideration, House Joint Resolution 31. What it would do is if it passes and gets signed, it would go onto the ballot, and then we would be able to vote on whether in subsequent elections, so not in 2024 but in 2026, we would have, you know, R's and D's and NPA behind our names when people are running for school board. I'm a fan. I think it makes sense. What do you think? 437-1620. You heard there Cecile Schoon for League of Women Voters of Florida that she says, no, we don't want to inject partisanship into the schools. And, you know, that would maybe theoretically be fine, except isn't partisanship already in the schools? Representative Chase Tremont says,
the reality is that these are already partisan races. We all know that. So the reality is, as we move forward, all we're doing is asking the people, hey, these are already partisan races. Would you like to make it official and just put it out there? And for me, the reason I support this, and I frankly would go further and make it for city and municipal county races as well and judges. This is a transparency bill that's clear as day.
Look, Republicans and Democrats and no party affiliation, libertarians and Greens and socialists are all different. And being a member of one of those groups doesn't tell you everything about a candidate, but it tells you a lot. And as a voter, I can't tell you how frustrating it is. And look, I'm informed, right? I'm at the high end of being informed about candidates. I find it frustrating when you're trying to make these decisions that, well, you know, who is that person? What do they really believe? What kind of philosophy will they implement? And in school boards, we are finding more and more issues that once upon a time, you wouldn't have thought there'd be fighting over this. You know, you wouldn't have thought there'd be people saying, no, we should definitely have gay porn in kindergarten, you know, in grade school libraries. We should like, what? What are you talking about? No. Right. But there you have partisanship shows up because one party tends to be the permit everything party, and one party is like, no, I don't think we should do that party. And so the I don't think we should do that party gets called fascists, and you're like, wow, really? But if you had, you know, partisan designations behind people's names, maybe it would be a little bit clearer. Because I agree with Representative Tremont. It's already here. All this would do would be to kind of acknowledge it, and people want to know this. In fact, Mike Beltran, who is one of the sharpest representatives in Tallahassee, you know, he's the kind of guy that nobody wants to talk after him because he's always going to say what needs to be said and say it about as best as it can be said. And they actually mentioned this in one of the hearings I was listening to recently. Like, I hate going after him. But here's what he said.
People don't ask me about the state house or state senate or governor or congressional race. People ask me, an elected official who's also on the ballot, they'll ask me, who do I vote for school board and who do I vote for judge? And it's kind of awkward for me to speak to somebody else's values. They should be able to advertise their values and put them on the ballot if that's what they want to do. That's more information for the voter.
Yeah, exactly. Voters want the information, and especially on no party affiliation races, and not that they're NPAs, but that you don't know, you know, like city council, like mayor, like school board, like judges, like goodness, the Soil and Water Conservation District. If you can ever figure out who those people are, more power to you. Even I can't. I have no idea. I never know how to vote in those races. The point is, this would give you an indication of something that you want to know. Voters want to know this.
You may see somebody at a candidate forum. They can't say who they are. You don't get to see it on the ballot. They may seem nice, and then you go and you do some digging, and you realize that person may have been nice at that forum, but they don't share my values. And it's partisanship is certainly an imperfect measure of a lot of things. There's differences within political parties, of course, but at least it's one more piece of information that you know and when you're evaluating how you're going to vote for somebody.
It's information about candidates. That seems like a good thing. 437-1620, your thoughts. I'll share some of the text here in just a second. Gracie Wolf has traffic on the fives.
Roads are looking great right now. Nothing to slow you down on I-10 or I-110. We also are looking good throughout Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre, 98. Nothing to slow you down. If you do see something on the roads, give me a call at 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Gracie. So somebody texts in here, 437-1620. It's already there. The partisanship on school board is already there. Might as well be transparent about who is who. Might keep sleeper activists or hidden activists out. Now, I will say this. When you have strongly Democratic or strongly Republican counties, for example, you know, people who aren't really will say they are. I think we have some of that in both of these counties, you know, but and that's, you know, so putting an R or a D behind your name isn't a guarantee. OK, it's definitely not a guarantee because in some counties you cannot win without the right one. OK, so people will misrepresent themselves. That happens. So it's not a perfect system, but it's more of a system. It's something than more than what you've got right now. And one of the things that I found interesting about this conversation was Spencer Roach, the representative who's actually running the bill. I didn't know this, but apparently the no party affiliation being the way we run, for example, school boards, that's new. It was until 2000 that in the state of Florida, you always had party affiliation previously, and then it was bundled with a bunch of other things in the Constitution Revision Commission. Their proposals from 98 went into the 2000 election, and a bunch of things came in, like, you know, not having the open primaries and many, many other things. So this is the byproduct of a bundle. God, I hate these bundles. This is the, if you're not familiar with this, the CRC puts up a bunch of things. You can't possibly put all of them individually on the ballot. You know, 20 things to vote on, it would never work. So what they do is they bundle four or five here, and then you vote on that package. Well, the problem is you might support four of them, but not the fifth one. That's exactly what happened the last election in 2020. It was terrible, some of the things they bundled together. But I guess going back to 2000, this was bundled with some other stuff, and it came in. And now they're saying, listen, this was done probably, okay, because Democrats were losing political power. The Republicans were coming. Okay, and after all of the history of controlling Florida, the Democrats are like, oh no, we got to hide in plain sight as not having party affiliation at the school boards. Because, I mean, that's savvy. They recognize that school board elections shape school districts, and school districts shape schools, and schools shape kids, and kids shape the future. I mean, come on, it does not take rocket science to figure this out. That is as a political slash ideological warfare strategy is a good one from an effectiveness point of view. And if you feel like you're losing the war to shape the future citizens by losing the war to shape the kids in the schools and the school districts by the school boards, then what do? Well, you make it easier to hide in plain sight. It's kind of the argument. The flip side is, look, Republicans control the state. We ought to be able to control the state more so. Now you say, oh, that's going to make it even harder for Democrats. Maybe. But isn't that what the voters want? If the voters want it, that's the point. If the voters want it, they should be able to elect the school board representatives that they want. And part of that would be having a D or an R or an L or an S or an NPA behind their names. As far as disenfranchising no party affiliate voters, because they wouldn't be able to vote in the primaries, obviously, closed primaries, you can choose to join a party or not choose to join a party. As one of the representatives made the comment, I think it was Chase Tremont said, you disenfranchise yourself. If that's the system and you choose to be NPA, that's fine. But that's your choice. Also, wouldn't you, if you're NPA, want to know who's NPA? Right? I mean, the people who are NPA and really want to vote for an NPA, they don't know who it is now because you're not allowed to say either way. Yeah, so I'm in favor. I think this is a good thing. I think the notion that there's some apolitical, neutral, you know, partisan-free, mythical place where we have these sort of fantasy school board elections about individuals and their backgrounds and their character, and that's it. You know, that doesn't exist. You know, That does just nowhere. And certainly not in America in the year 2023. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who is Jesus? Some people say he was a prophet or a rabbi. Some say he was just an interesting historical figure. Really, the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question facing mankind. He wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was more than that. The Bible explains that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus isn't just a prophet, but he is the prophet. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The best answer is, he is God. I encourage you to rejoice in him and give your life to him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory, to our truck, to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing. Please take the time to visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Call now, 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Hey, listener, welcome to Limu's Karaoke Lounge, where Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, and the music never stops. Hit it!
There's an emu with a full-time job. His partner's Doug, but Limu's the heartthrob. Grubs and worms, that's what Limu eats. Gotta fuel up to save you money and hit the streets!
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail.
Oh, and I don't want to dwell on this too much, but I think it is worth mentioning. A couple of things that I observed in this hearing about the HJR 31, the one that would make school board races partisan if it gets ratified by the voters, okay, coming up, you know, next election, is there was interesting moment. And that was when, and I had kind of played this clip earlier in the day, but you had somebody who is with the League of Women Voters. And this was her perspective, Cecile Shoon.
The way people are behaving today, there's such an allegiance to party. I've literally had people tell me, so I don't really believe that, but I have to say that because of the party. I want to get elected.
And she's worried about injecting partisanship into the schools, right? And remember, the part of the reason alleged behind the move to take partisan away from the school board races is because Democrats wanted to hide under that, you know, not be outed basically as Democrats. I genuinely hate to have to say this every time I have to say it, but it is worth saying. The League of Women Voters is not a neutral, nonpartisan organization. My grandmother was a part of the League of Women Voters when she was around, and she was a Republican in the heavily Democrat Florida back in the day. And always having to fight for, you know, equal treatment. Like, they wouldn't even give her a ballot kind of stuff. Like, terrible stuff that happened back in the day to disenfranchise Republicans. You always hear about the Republicans being the disenfranchisers. Trust me, it happened the other way back in the day in Florida. Anyway, the League of Women Voters is supposed to be and used to be a nonpartisan organization. It is most definitely not anymore. It is a partisan arm of the Democratic Party. I wish I didn't have to say that. Look at the questions that get asked when we do a lot of, you just pay attention. And if you don't believe me, because you think, oh, God, Andrew, that's not really happening, listen to what was said the other day in the other hearing when you had the HB 999, the one that Representative Andrade was running, and you had somebody show up there. This is the one about, you know, critical race theory and gender theory and all of that stuff showing up, you know, and being prohibited. You had Trish Neely, League of Women Voters, listen, this is what she said.
Thank you, members and chair. Trish Neely, League of Women Voters, proud feminist.
Which, in and of itself, not such a big deal. be a feminist, be not a feminist, whatever, but she felt completely comfortable identifying herself as what is generally understood to be a leftist Democrat position and also a representative of the League of Women Voters. You just have to pay attention. That's all I'm saying. 725. So, again, what do I think? I think you ought to have the nonpartisan elections. You ought to have partisan designations in the school board races. Oh, I will say this last thought on the subject. There was a funny moment at the hearing over this House joint resolution. I'll share that with you just after we get traffic on the fives from Gracie.
Well, roads are looking good right now with I-10 and I-110 not causing any slowdowns. West Detroit Boulevard, Johnson Avenue, Olive Road, all looking good. If you do see something slowing you down on the roads, just give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Let's go into the newsroom first with David Wayne and our headlines. David?
The Biden administration threatening a nationwide ban on TikTok if the app isn't sold. The video sharing app used by more than 100 million Americans. The CDC says deaths of pregnant women in the U.S. fell significantly last year. That's after it hit a six-decade high during the pandemic. Final tally released this morning shows that the number went down from more than 1,200 in 2021 to 733 last year. And Nike says they're going to stop using kangaroo leather in their soccer cleats. The shoe and apparel giant announced Monday it'll stop using kangaroo leather for any of its products by the end of the year. They announced that after lawmakers in their home state introduced a bill banning the sale of kangaroo parts.
Is the kangaroo not a good source of leather? Like, what's the problem? I don't know. It's just a deer that hops. Yeah, I know. It's a marsupial. It's not, but whatever.
They're cute. You can't sell kangaroo leather.
Everything is cute. Everything is cute. The stuff we eat is cute. And it's tasty. I'm just saying, you know, the stuff you make leather out of is cute and smart, and yet food. Anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. So back to this hearing with House Joint Resolution 31. Like, I know in advance, this is not like not all of you are going to get this reference, and that's okay. For the people who will, you'll think it's hilarious, and I'll explain it afterwards. But in the hearing, one of the things that happens a lot of times is people will show up, they'll fill out an appearance card, and then they won't actually speak. They'll just wave in support or wave in opposition, which doesn't really accomplish anything other than, hey, I was here. But I was kind of not entirely caught off guard because I knew that some locals had headed over to Tallahassee for this hearing because they were there for the commissioner recall vote, the joint resolution that's being offered there that's being run by Representative Rudman, our state representative from northern part of Santa Rosa County. But here was the part that caught me totally off guard.
Mr. Larry Downs Jr.?
No. What?
He's a proponent of the bill, waves in support.
That was one, waved in support, didn't speak.
Sherry Chapman on behalf of CORE, Coastal Conservatives, and Recall Florida. Proponent, waves in support.
So just to understand why this is funny is there's never been an opportunity for Larry Downs Jr. to speak at a public meeting where he hasn't spoken. Not ever one time. Same for Sherry Chapman. Like every Milton City Council meeting, every Santa Rosa County Commission meeting for Larry, it's every county commission meeting in Escambia County, and sometimes at Pensacola City Council meetings, I believe. And so for them to show up, fill out a card, and then just not say anything, for me, was an interesting moment. They did speak later, and they actually had really good things to say about the recall commissioner's vote. 729 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, snarky. Leap for Change is Leadership Pensacola's two-class project. It's going to help provide basic needs, including food, hygiene products, clothing, and other necessities for particular local organizations that serve families and children living in Pensacola. To learn more about the Leap projects and donate, go to newsradio923.com. We've also got the Navy Federal 5K, 13th annual 5K, comes up Saturday, April 1st, downtown Pensacola. The race starts at 8 and begins and ends at Seville Quarter. You can go to NavyFederal.org/5K, NavyFederal.org/5K for that. And tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day. Remember to wear green. Don't get pinched. But also, Council on Aging West Florida is having their annual Kites on the Coast event tomorrow and Saturday. So 4 to 10 p.m. on Friday out at Pensacola Beach, and then Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. So same hours, just reversed for Friday night to Saturday day. Community invited to celebrate flight kite flying and local vendors and food trucks and all kinds of cool stuff put on by the Council on Aging of West Florida. What do you have coming up, David?
There's a new grant that Escambia Children's Trust is looking to find an organization to administer.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. There's video released of a Russian fighter jet colliding with an American military drone Tuesday.
The video is about 40 seconds long. It shows the Russian Su-27 came up from behind about 75 miles southwest of Crimea. The Russian jet seen dumping fuel, which appears to instantly vaporize after it hits the air, taking a second pass with the Pentagon called recklessly approaching, and the collision taking place, and the drone was destroyed.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen testifies at a hearing of the Senate Finance Committee this morning about President Biden's budget proposal and the recent failure of two banks. Iowa Senate Republican Joni Ernst on Fox and Friends First.
Janet, what she will need to do is speak with authority, if she has any, on how this can be corrected in the future.
Secretary Yellen in her planned remarks says our banking system remains sound and that Americans can feel confident that their deposits will be there when they need them. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, News Radio 92.3, 732 here. Right now, 52 degrees. It is partly cloudy in Pensacola. Applications opening today for a new grant from Escambia Children's Trust. That new grant's going to fund a Help Me Grow program. They're looking for a lead agency to administer it. Whichever organization receives the grant will also have to work with other agencies in the area. The Children's Trust says their goal is to provide more early childhood intervention programs.
A study was recently released, as recently as last week. It says that Black toddlers are 5 times less likely to receive early intervention services than their white counterparts, and that's significant.
That is Tammy Greer, the trust's executive director, and the study says that 1 in 3 kids that did receive early intervention programs didn't need special education when they got into preschool. Escambia Children's Trust is going to be reviewing audits, staffing, and prior annual reports from organizations that apply. Now, applications for this close on April 26th. Starting to learn more now about the night that 23-year-old Ariel Thomas was shot and killed outside of a local nightclub. His mother talked with Channel 3. She says she remembers the last time she saw Ariel.
He told me 3 or 4 times that he loved me.
Michelle Sinkfield there, and she says it was later that night when she got the call that he'd been shot. Family and friends held a vigil at the Palafox Pier yesterday. The investigation into that shooting continues. So far, there have been no arrests made. Investigators say nobody's come forward with information. Since that shooting, there have been calls to shut down Club Climax because of a history of violent issues there. An effort to stop the removal of Confederate monuments is moving forward in Tallahassee. A Senate committee yesterday passed the Historical Monuments and Memorials Protection Act. SB 1096 prevents local governments from removing Confederate monuments on public land. The bill would also allow those who damage or deface a monument to be sued for damages. State Senator Jonathan Martin is the bill's sponsor. He says history, good or bad, needs to be available for everybody. Celebrity chef Paula Deen will be in Baldwin County next month. She'll be at OWA for a book signing. This is going to be on April 1st. Deen also has a restaurant inside OWA. She'll be visiting that as well. And there's a meet and greet event planned for people that want to meet her. The first 250 customers that buy an item at her Paula Deen store there will get a wristband for that. For more information, just check out the OWA website. There's a bill that would change how death sentences are handled here in the state of Florida, and that's being considered in Tallahassee. If the bill were to make it through, it would only require 8 jurors to vote in favor of sending a person to death row instead of a unanimous jury decision.
A few months ago, we witnessed tragic failure of the justice system when the jury in the penalty phase of the convicted Parkland shooter only sentenced him to life in prison.
Tony Minalto, and he says this is about victims' rights. He lost his daughter in the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting back in 2018. Now, that bill yesterday made it through the House Justice Appropriations Subcommittee with an 8-6 vote. 735 at News Radio. Let's get a look at your traffic on the fives with Gracie.
This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. No slowdowns to report with I-10 and I-110 looking good, as well as 29 and 90. We do have a slight accident, small accident. This is going to be on 98 heading westbound. Right, it's going to be Gulf Breeze Parkway. So just keep that in mind. Nothing too bad right in front of Espresso Lane. So if you see something else on the roads, just give me a call at 850-2626-111. Again, this traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to care. Call 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. That's 250-3756. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be slightly warmer as we go into the afternoon today. Mostly sunny skies, high near 72. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 60s. For Friday, showers and thunderstorms move in, starting in the late morning, lasting through the afternoon hours. A few storms could be strong. High on Friday near 77 degrees. Temperatures drop overnight near 46 degrees. We're going to be seeing some sunshine return for your Saturday with a high near 60. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 52, partly cloudy in Pensacola. 58 in Gulf Breeze and 50 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishenka with Your Money Now. More investors anticipate that the Fed's rate increase cycle could be over due to broader financial turmoil from the failure of two regional banks in the past week. Investors in interest rate futures markets yesterday saw a nearly 50% chance the Fed won't increase rates at their meeting next week, up from 30% on Tuesday. Policymakers have raised rates at each of their last eight policy meetings spanning 12 months, the most rapid series of increases since the early 80s. Volkswagen plans to release an electric car for under $27,000 to help convert 80% of its sales in Europe to electric by 2030. The concept vehicle will have a range of 280 miles. An image of the all-electric vehicle shows a blue hatchback that looks like the VW Golf. VW says the vehicle will be as spacious as a Golf and as inexpensive as a Polo, a subcompact car manufactured since 1975. That's Your Money Now.
When you choose your next Volkswagen from the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Feed More Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Pete Moore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Pete Moore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, tax title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Much data as I can. I like to speak objectively to make sure, you know, again, we all kind of, you know, anecdotally know because we hear about it there all the time. But, you know, there's been 200 calls there at that address the last 5 years. And remember, that address doesn't mean that's just the address. That's not the adjoining parking lot necessarily or across the street. And there's been three murders there in 5 years. I mean, and something has to be done, no doubt about it. So
that was Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday when we were talking to him, Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, talking about that Club Climax location, formerly the Platinum Club. And as he mentioned, 3 murders within 5 years, hundreds of calls, disproportionate level of service needed to, you know, create safety there. And the question is, you know, what can be done? Joining us now, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, as always, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So I know you all have been talking about this and thinking about this, and certainly in collaboration with and taking guidance from the mayor's office. But you tell me, how bad is it? What can be done? What should we be looking for as citizens? Because, you know, this situation just seems outrageous.
Well, like the mayor said, we've been there hundreds of times over the years. We've had more than one homicide there, 3, in fact, in the last 5 years. So it is a problem spot. But, you know, there are calls to close it, and you know, that may or may not work. I can tell you that since the Pelican's Nest has been closed, we've had 0 problems from that location. So, you know, that if you close one location, then folks will gather. Young folks will gather. That's what they do, and find someplace else. And we've seen lately in the news that sometimes that ends up being a short-term rental home. But young people are going to gather, and any time that happens, there's potential there for problems.
You know, I joked with the mayor, not so much a joke, you know, when, you know, the bulldozer can't come fast enough. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking at home, like, you know, what if a city bulldozer just sort of accidentally went off the road, you know, and kind of took care of the problem? But you raise a good point that, you know, the people who are the source of the problem will find a way to congregate somewhere and then create problems. But there's still value in trying to, you know, either displace or to control the environment that they're in. You tell me, I just don't know. Would higher police presence there, would if they hired off-duty police officers, I mean, would that make a difference? And, you know, because it seems like if we know that, like if we just, you know, squash this problem out, it's just going to move somewhere else. Well, okay, we know the problem is here. What can we do to make that a safer environment? Is that a feasible way to look at this?
Well, maybe, maybe not. You know, we have off-duty officers working all over the place in the city of Pensacola at bars and other venues. But again, I bring back the Pelican's Nest. The night that the shooting happened there, there were 5 people struck, I believe, inside during that gunfire. We did have Pensacola police officers working in an off-duty capacity that night that were immediately on scene when this happened.
So having officers even on the scene is not always going to solve the problems they can still. It's frustrating to hear that, but I believe you. I mean, I know, you know, people are like that, unfortunately. You know, sort of the other question I have is, help me gauge, like, we hear this number, okay, 3 homicides in 5 years sounds outrageous, hundreds of calls in, you know, the same amount of time. Is that genuinely disproportionately higher than, let's say, other bars that operate in the area? Is it really that location that's uniquely problematic? Or if I compared the numbers to, for example, other bars, would I find something comparable?
No, you wouldn't. I can't think of another location in the city of Pensacola where we've had that many homicides at one location. So, there is a problem at that particular location, obviously.
Okay, well, again, I mean, that's why I asked the question, because I didn't know the answer to that, and I wanted to be sure. We're talking to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for PPD. I wanted to give you a chance, just because this is something we also talked about with the mayor yesterday, but it's been a lot in the news, just maybe to clarify for folks who don't know that PPD, what is your role or relationship to parking enforcement, blue signs, regular street parking where no signs, or red signs? What is your involvement in any of that?
Good, positive public relations. So when people are frustrated downtown, you know, I work a lot downtown in an off-duty capacity while the detail's going on to redo the electrical infrastructure downtown. They walk up to my vehicle a lot with parking tickets, complaining and not understanding why. In some lots, in private lots, they were just charged $100. And I explained to them that that's a private lot. And even the ones that are blue are for the city of Pensacola. The police department is not, we're not there to enforce that. The city has their own folks that do that in the blue lots. And the blue lots are quite a bit more inexpensive than the red ones. So right. We just have to educate and inform the public of of our role there or lack thereof.
So we know red lots are totally private, not connected to y'all. Blue lots are city parking enforcement, not connected to y'all. What about street parking, other parking, generally speaking, metered parking, any of that kind of stuff that's not the blue lots? Do you guys have anything to do with any of that?
Well, if somebody is parked just like in a handicap zone in front of a fire hydrant, just completely someplace where they're not supposed to be parked, and we will address that situation.
Okay, but otherwise, if you get a ticket, it's not coming from PPD, so they're not the source. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Right, that's exactly right.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to hear, and it's useful because people don't know. They don't know which government official, which level of government, which government organization, which, you know, who controls what, and that's part of the confusion about parking and a lot of other things as well, and I'd always like to create clarity for people's minds about, you know, who runs what. Talking to Mike Wood, PIO for Pensacola Police Department. Mike, hang on for just a second. Let's get Gracie in here with Traffic on the Fives.
I-10 and I-110 showing no slowdowns, as well as 29 and 90. Nothing to slow you down on Davis Highway south of the interstate. We are just seeing some typical afternoon traffic, Davis Highway near West Florida Hospital and East Olive Road. If you see something else on the road slowing you down, just give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Back to Mike Wood. The skate park is really coming along. I drove by there the other day and parked my car and stood up on the roof of the car so I could get video over the security fence because that's what I do. And it's really coming along. Like there's, you know, last time I saw it, it was just dirt holes and now it's all concrete and it looks like we're getting ready to, you know, see some touring of it and get it finished for the summer. And somebody asked me the question, you know, well, that's great, except is it going to be, you know, a hangout for vagrants, homeless? Is there going to be, you know, criminal activity, whatever? And my answer to them was, did you notice where it's located? Right, Mike?
Yeah, it's right across the street, and I got to be honest with you, I'm kind of looking forward to the completion of that and watching the people over there using it, because it's impressive to watch. You've got the ones that know exactly what they're doing, that are very safe and been doing it a long time, doing tricks on the in parks like that. So I got to tell you, coming out of the parking lot down on Jackson Street, we're going to be watching and may have to pull over and see what's going on for a few minutes. But we're looking forward to that opening and think it's a great thing to have.
No, agreed. And I also like how you implied that maybe there's a McKay out there who's not in that first category you were talking about, being the expert capable of doing all the things, but, you know, might be trying some stuff and hopefully doesn't hurt himself. Last question for you. We always like to end on a kind of cop myth, or is it really like this in real life versus TV? I've recently been watching The Wire, a very, very good show. I had never watched it when it first came out. One of the things in that show that they talk about, and I've seen this in other shows as well, is particularly the homicide detectives, but they get assigned cases and then they clear those cases by, you know, finding a suspect, apprehending, making an arrest, bringing charges, all that kind of stuff. And they make a big deal about, you know, the clearance rate and the homicide detectives wanting to avoid the difficult, challenging cases because it's a lower clearance rate and wanting to get the gimmies and the easy ones because that bumps up their rate a lot. Is there any truth to that in real life, the sort of manipulation of and fixation on the clearance rate for the homicide department?
Absolutely. You know, I did arson investigation for several years, and I know that, you know, if I didn't clear these cases, then, you know, there may be a problem. People look at you, you know, what's wrong with you? Why don't you clear these cases? And, you know, especially when you clear a big one, you want to kind of walk around with your chest stuck out. And but, you know, they all investigators, they help each other. It's a collaborative effort. And the main thing is that the cases at the Pensacola Police Department are solved as quickly as they can. And even if they're not quickly solved, they go into the cold case area. And as we've seen in the past, that we're able to solve cases from back in the 70s and 80s as well. So part of that is true.
Yeah, the awareness and the importance of clearance rate is true. I assume that the manipulation and the don't give me that case, I can't clear it, that's the part that maybe is exaggerated for effect.
Yeah, and Andrew, if I could, can I want to thank the community real quick for the support that we've had from the passing of K-9 Janice.
Oh yeah,
we've had a lot of feedback on social media. That K-9 was very special. They all are, but one thing special about Janice was the ability for him to go and take down a violent felon, and then just a few minutes later, able to walk through an elementary school and let the kids pet him. That's something that you don't see in every K-9. So certainly going to miss him, and we appreciate the public support.
Oh, no, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for reminding you of that. I appreciate it. And I know officers become very attached to these other officers, these canines, so thank you for the reminder. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thanks for the good information, keeping us safe and helping us understand our community. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. 750 on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about selling your home, you got lots of questions. That's what happens. When you're thinking about it, you have questions. You know, what's my home worth? What's it really worth? What's the best I can get? Is now the best time? Is a month or 2 months from now the best time? What are interest rates doing? What's the demand like? How are houses moving in general, in my neighborhood, in my price range, right? All of that. Those are all relevant things, okay? How quickly could it happen? I don't have the answers to that. Those questions. Christine Leavenworth does. She's been doing this about 6 years, and she sold about 200 homes last year, same the previous year. I mean, like more than the previous year, but over 200. And she's now training other realtors. Okay, so when you're talking to her, you're talking to somebody that other realtor organizations are having come in to teach how to do what she does. So you just have access to her, which is kind of fantastic. And all of this stuff, you know, all of that experience means that she knows how to get the best price for your home, what is that best price, and all the maybe little things that she will do or that she knows how to, you know, do with the home that will make the best and quickest result for you. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, 723-9158.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
With the largest selection of in-stock vinyl plank flooring at the guaranteed lowest price, Home Outlet is your destination for all of your flooring needs. Modernize your space with easy-to-install rustic loft stone core vinyl plank, including pad, just $249 per square foot. Or brighten your space with the Sanibel Pier waterproof composite core vinyl plank with pad for only $319 per square foot. Visit the team at your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet to get started on your project today.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming in to an authorized dealer like Berets for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Berets Jewelers.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
The claw, it moves. I have been chosen. Farewell, my friends. I go on to a better place.
Good morning, 754, News Radio 92.3. Sunny, it looks pretty out. A little chilly still, that's okay. It's, you know, it's March. It's March, it's the beginning of March Madness, okay? I wonder, I've got a future news question maybe about that. All I know is the teams I care about most are playing today. I got Alabama's playing, or not Alabama's playing today, I care most against them. Auburn's playing, Illinois's playing, and I made some picks that are probably ill-advised, but maybe I look like a hero when all is said and done. Let's get traffic on the fives from Gracie Wolf.
Really no slowdowns to report right now with I-10 and I-110. Checking in clear, nothing to slow you down on Highway 90 throughout Pace and Milton. If you do see something on the road slowing you down, just give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Now in the newsroom where David Wayne's got our headlines. David?
The Biden administration threatening a nationwide ban on TikTok if the app isn't sold.
NBC News has confirmed from a source close to TikTok that the administration is demanding the company's Chinese owners ByteDance sell their stake in the social media giant.
NBC News correspondent Kristen Welker there. TikTok firing back, saying if protecting national security is the objective, divestment doesn't solve the problem. The app used by more than 100 million Americans. Former Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti will be the next ambassador to India. He was confirmed yesterday by the Senate. After some senators did express reservations over accusations that he knew his former political aide was sexually harassing people, he denied the accusation. And a California man, Andrew, that has already set the Guinness World Record for having the world's longest tongue, has now set a new record for the fastest time to remove 5 Jenga blocks with his tongue. Seems like he had an unfair advantage there. Nick Stoberl.
Just like in the category, there's 4 competitors in the world. All right, go on. I'm listening.
Nick Stoberl removed 5 Jenga blocks from a stack in 55 and a half seconds.
There's a one part of me that wants to say wow, and there's one part of me that wants to say ew.
It's just pretty disgusting.
Ew. Did we learn nothing from the pandemic? Don't play Jenga with your tongue, kids. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 757 on News Radio 92.3. If you're getting ready to buy that next vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. Look, there's reasons why, but the short version is great quality used vehicles. 1, 2, 3 years old. You don't take the depreciation hit. You get something that is basically new. It's just that you weren't the first owner. Okay, and that's the idea. That's why Dave Ramsey recommends them. That's why I recommend them. You get a car that's almost like new, but just, without all the extra money tied up in it. And they have great selection, right? They have about 300 cars, trucks, vans, sedans, Jeeps on the lot at any given different moment. And, you're getting ready to buy your daily run around. That's fine. Drive a pickup truck, like just for fun. Maybe you've never driven one. Or you're getting ready to drive a pickup, drive a Jeep. Just try something that might be a little bit different, because maybe you discover that's fantastic, I'd like. Or maybe you discover, nope, not for me, and that's fine. Just make it fun, make it like a date almost. If you want to go for a couple of hours and drive 4, 5, 6 different cars, just have fun with it and really learn and side-by-side compare them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, we did get information from Kathleen Pasadomo, the Senate president, yesterday. She was asked about whether she supports the gun bill that would reduce the age to purchase a long gun, a rifle, or a shotgun to 18.
Do you support the bill about moving the age down to 18 to buy gun rifles?
No.
You do not?
No. We don't have it in the Senate. Nobody filed it, so there's no bill to support.
There's no bill in my chamber. So there's nothing to support here or oppose, but no, I don't believe in it.
But that doesn't mean that you're still here to take it up at some point in time when it comes around the House.
I listen to my members. Nobody's brought it up to me. Nobody's mentioned it to me in the Senate.
What if they amended it into permanent and carried over to the House?
I don't think that'll happen.
So you think it's dead in the Senate?
There's no bill filed.
So you think it's dead? There's no bill filed. We're done here, right? Other questions? So what this means, and I told you this the other day, that the House is going to advance and pass this overwhelmingly to reduce the age down to 18 from 21. This is part of the Parkland bill, the post-Parkland bill. And the Senate's not going to have a version, and so that's going to be it. It's not going to change this year. Something very dramatic would have to change. And by the way, she said also that the governor, she doesn't coordinate with the governor on bills. Nobody writes their bills for them. And so that's not an avenue through which this is likely to happen either. At least I don't expect that.